We're so thankful to be here tonight in such a wonderful place, have this opportunity to have such a special camp where we get to come up here and just do nothing but focus on you, Jesus. We're so thankful for this last night that we get to spend together, and we pray that you just open up our hearts and our minds and just prepare them for you to work on them. Let us set aside every other trial or thought or anything that might distract us, because you're what's important. And we're here for you tonight, Jesus. We trust you for it. Have your way with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, everybody. Usually I get to be up here for all of camp. Unfortunately, this year I was unable to, and it's the first time in a long time. But I'm so thankful that I get to be here now. And honestly, I got up here an hour and a half ago, maybe, and immediately I got the full tour, obviously, because my parents got to show me everything. But as soon as that stopped, all I could think about was just how special it is to be here, how much I wish that I could have been here. I remember, especially as a camper, you know, like Tim said, I was a camper every year for ever. And even after that, I was a counselor. And it's a privilege that, I don't know. I haven't been able to come for a long time. And so I'm realizing right now how much I miss it and how sad I am that I haven't been able to attend. So any chance that you get to be here and come to this, always do. If you're hesitant, forget it. Make sure that you can come. This is such a powerful time, especially for the youth. The campgrounds look really nice. It looks like we've been having a lot of fun. I know we're on our third day, so I imagine we're pretty tired. Might not have been doing a lot of sleeping. Might have been messing around and doing stuff we probably shouldn't have, just like I did when I was a camper. But that's okay. That's what camp's for, a little bit. But mainly it's this. And so let's really try and focus and set aside anything that might distract and just really let the Lord work on us. This is our last night, and so let's make this count. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and get started. So the scripture that I'm going to be reading out of tonight is going to be 2 Timothy. But before we go there, I want to give some context as to what's going on, because I think it's important to understand. So there's two people that we got to know, and that's Paul and Timothy. And so I hope we all know Paul. Pretty sure we do. If you come to this church, you hear it basically every single time you walk through the doors, and that's what it should be, because the Bible tells us if we're preaching anything else, then it should be a curse. So Paul is the sweet apostle that brought us the bridal message, and that's really where we need to root our faith and our growth. Timothy is another sweet brother in the Lord who we can look at, who actually is always portrayed in the Bible in a sense of being younger. And so it's nice for the younger people to identify with. But Timothy heard Paul's message on one of Paul's journeys, and he took hold of it, and he made it his own. And Paul was aware of that through several of his journeys, and at a certain point, Timothy actually traveled with Paul and journeyed with him and was part of that effort. And so Timothy was fully aware of this message. But what 2 Timothy is, and what we're going to be reading out of, and this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. And so Paul wrote this when he was actually in Rome in a prison and basically awaiting a certain death. And you'd think that, man, Timothy should be the one that would be reaching out to Paul to encourage Paul in such a dire place and a dire time, but that's not at all what we read in 2 Timothy. It's Paul encouraging Timothy. Timothy, like I said, he was younger. And so at this time, he had been traveling with Paul, but Paul was no longer there. And so Timothy was kind of out on his own. And he didn't have this great leader that he had learned from for so long. And so Paul was aware that Timothy might be feeling a little bit distraught, maybe needed some encouragement. And so I think that this encouragement is very applicable to all of our lives. The four verses that I'm going to read, I mean, the more that I keep going through this message, I think that this sums up basically everything that you could ever want to attain in the Lord. So I am going to go through some other scriptures and I'll reference them, but I don't want you to be flipping your Bibles all over the place. I'll only ask us to go to one other place, I think. So we'll start in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 9. And I'll go ahead and read it. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, we will start in verse 6. And basically that, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, is Paul saying, hey, Timothy, listen, remember this. Think about what we've taught and what we've grown in together. And immediately after that, he says, what? That thou stir up the gift of God. And he's talking specifically about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful tool that we have. And for us to just let it sit dormant is not what we're encouraged to do. Paul knows this. Paul bragged, that he spoke more than y'all. And that's something that we should strive for, is to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the stir up actually means to fan, like a flame. In the Greek, it says that it's to kindle up. And so I like that, because when I was filled, I was, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade. I was filled and I was like, all right, got that done with, good to go. But that is not at all what the Holy Spirit is and should be in our lives. And so I love this imagery of the flame, because it's a flame that we can let go dim if we so choose. But it's also a flame on the other side of that, if you look at it, that we have the ability to you know, flame and make it big and large and alive in our lives. And this last section of that verse I really like, and I want to talk about it just for a second. So we're stirring up the gift, we're stirring up the Holy Spirit, and then Paul specifies, which is put in thee by the putting on of my hands. And so Paul's talking about a time when he was praying with Timothy and other leaders in the church. Back then it would be like a ordaining, but basically just a very serious prayer. And I love that it's the putting on of the hands. I usually glance over that, but when I really thought about it, it hit right home with me. And it's great because I see Jesse Trujillo out here. And when I was filled at camp, I was up there tarrying, not getting it done. But I don't know, I didn't know who it was at the time, but I felt a hand on my back and then boom, just couldn't stop. And it's so sweet, because there is something to be said that's powerful about the putting on of hands. And it's something that we shouldn't shy away from. You know, we've been brought here so specially and perfectly in this group. There's no reason that we should shy away from each other. I know it's the third day, so maybe somebody hasn't showered and they're smelling a little. But it's okay. We'll get past that with the Lord. The very love that brought Jesus to the cross to save each and every one of us, despite how ugly and undeserving every single one of us are, is the same love that's alive and well in our hearts. So who's to say that that putting on of hands isn't very powerful? So I just encourage you guys not to shy away from that. I know it's not always the most comfortable thing, but it truly is very powerful, and I know that Paul didn't just put it in there for fun. So, And verse 7, Paul goes on and he says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." God gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're aware, power, love, and sound mind, those sound a lot like fruits of the Spirit. And if you don't know what fruits of the Spirit are, then you need to ask my Aunt Lynn, because she's got a 10-year study on it. But the Lord does not call us to be fearful. That is not what the Holy Spirit is in our lives. We're called to be courageous. And I want to kind of go through the three that Paul mentions here: power, love, and a sound mind. So, power, spirit of power. One might think of this as a strong stance in the faith. You know, we're not called to be cowardly in Jesus. We're called to be strong, unwavering in our empowered faith in Jesus. And that's inspired through that spirit. And a verse that I think is really cool because Jesus said it is Luke 24:49. And I'll give you a little bit of context. You don't need to turn there. Basically, it's when Jesus rose from the grave, he's talking to his disciples, kind of giving them some instruction as to, you know, what to do, what's going to happen. And Jesus says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem," which is where Pentecost occurred, "until ye be endued with the power from on high." So Jesus himself is telling us that this, you know, go and tarry. I'm sure the disciples were like, "I don't know what this means. What is this power from on high?" Well, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. This is that same spirit of power that rests on our lives. It's for us to take advantage of and for us to be strong in. The next fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions here is love. This is the love that causes us to do. And I say that in a sense of, you know, a lot of Christianity says, well, we need to try and work at this, and we need to try and act a certain way here, and we should do good. Well, none of that's good. You can't do anything good in yourself. And the only good that ever comes from our lives is from the Spirit that lives in us. And I think that the one, at least for me personally, that causes and inspires the most good out of my life is that spirit of love. Because, you know, a great example of it is this church and this congregation. You know, we have so many different kinds of people from everywhere across the board. And if we were to step outside the walls of the church and live and walk our everyday lives, you know, maybe we would say, wow, I don't know if I would be friends with that person or whatever. You know, we don't exactly, you know, have similarities beyond church at times. But I can't think of an environment, and I know this because it's true in my heart, where I've ever felt more love and more love for ever. The hardest and most challenging times of my life, strangers in church, not strangers, none of you are strangers, but people that I wouldn't typically, you know, seek out to. They don't even know what's going on in my life. Just come up to me and tell me, "I'm praying for you. I love you." It's that spirit of love that encourages us to go out and to go beyond. And the more that we surrender to that and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, the greater that love grows. And so the last one that Paul mentions here is a sound mind. And I really like this one because it could also be interpreted as self-control. And this is important, and I'm still learning this, but the Holy Spirit, it's applicable in every aspect of life. I used to think, you know, it's only here, it's only there. Nope, it's everything. It applies everywhere. And it gives you a godly wisdom and spiritual discernment so that when we interact and we walk this life in this ugly, nasty, sinful world, God put us here on purpose. He knows what's going on. He knows everything. He knows everything that we encounter. This spirit is what allows us, if we so surrender and allow it and fan that flame to grow into our lives, this is the spirit that encourages us to be able to walk with that spiritual discernment. So as we move on into verse 8, Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And instead, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Yes, that was not a mistake. Paul said, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And this is a great time for us to take advantage of that spirit of power that lives in us so that we can stand boldly in our faith in Jesus and so that we can know and be aware that, you know, the afflictions of this life, they're purposeful. And we should be aware and know that this is a battle. This world that we live in, it, like I just said, it is full of many different ways and things that can pull us all over the place. But God wants us to take his spirit of power so that we can know that these things are going to come upon us. This is the other verse that I do want us to turn to. So if you will, we'll go to 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. All right, that was probably enough time. So these scriptures say, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." This is really powerful scripture because we all go through a fiery trial. We all have different things that are going to challenge us in one way or another throughout life. You're called to the highest glory, and Satan wants to do anything to distract you and defend you from that. So naturally speaking, as we who know this bridal message, Satan is going to try us and Satan is going to attack us. So let's be equipped and let's be prepared for it. And not only be prepared for it, but let's rejoice in it. And let's be thankful in it. Again, we see that word, to be partakers of Christ's sufferings, to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. And all of this is because why? It says here, so that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye, us, may be glad with exceeding joy. So what is that saying right there? When his glory shall be revealed. When his glory shall be revealed, that's talking about the bride. That's talking about that wondrous day when Jesus gets to call her home. And I know, and I don't know about you guys, but the only way that I'm going to be glad with exceeding joy on that day is if I am the glory standing right there next to Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way to be glad in that moment. The Bible tells us that a tear will have to be wiped from the eye of those that are onlooking. God calls us to be warriors for him so that we can grow in him. And the stronger our spirit is, the more refreshed we are in our spirit, the more we're able to take on the things and the challenges that we experience in this life. And it's all for one purpose. It tells us very clearly that if we suffer with him, that we shall also reign with him. And so, in verse 9 it goes on, and it says, "Who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So, obviously we know Jesus saved us, and that's that first part, who hath saved us. But it doesn't stop there. If it were just salvation, that would be the end. That would be a period right there, not comma, and. And it says, "and called us with a holy calling." Well, what is that holy calling? Again, it's all pointing to one thing, and that is to attain the bridegroom of Christ and to be there. And it's not because we did anything for it. It's not because we're righteous. It's really easy to, you know, get beat up and get feeling down on yourself. Oh, well, I'm not good enough. Oh, well, I did this yesterday, and I can never seem to stop doing this thing. It's everyone. It's not just you, I promise. It's across the board, and it's different for all of us because Jesus is working on all of us so individually and specially. So don't let guilt defeat you. It's not according to our works. It is not according to anything that we have done. And it's, in fact, according to His own purpose. And that's kind of even hard to wrap your head around. It's like, why would it be His purpose? And that's understanding how rich and how deep Jesus' love is for us. Jesus, His love is very intentional with us. His love wasn't just to save us, but it was to marry us. It's to take that next step and to take it further. That's that holy calling. For Jesus to receive His full glory is only through Him having His bride. In 2 Thessalonians 1:12, we read that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him. So it's vice versa. It's not just, oh, well, you know, I gotta praise the King. Yes, Jesus is King, but He's called us to rule and to reign with Him. And the only way that we can understand that and take hold of that is through His Holy Spirit. So if we really look at all of these things put together, if we, you know, go back to kind of how this started, remember, Paul's writing to Timothy, who's feeling down on his luck. He's feeling kind of out there by himself, unsure what to do. And Paul says in these verses pretty shortly, hey, Timothy, stir up that gift. Do not let the Holy Spirit grow dim in your heart. Light that thing on fire. Let it be bigger than it ever has been, because there's nothing that will be more powerful in your life. There's nothing that will give you power, nothing that will give you love and a sound mind like the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that we should be relying on. It shouldn't be anything in ourselves. It's only in that Holy Spirit that works through our hearts and our lives. And when we have more of those spiritual fruits in our lives, that encourages us to know and be aware that, you know what? I am going to be tried because I am a good soldier and I am here fighting the fight, the good fight of faith, so that I can attain that bridal calling. It's not unbeknownst to me. This is no shock to me. I know that these are things that are going to come upon my life. And it's all for that one purpose, so that we can attain the highest calling in Jesus Christ. And this all ultimately starts with getting on your knees and stirring up that gift. Camp is such a very, very, very special time to stir up that gift. I have never seen more powerful worship services than in these environments. So I encourage you to not let that go. Just like we read here, to fan that flame. Let it grow in your heart and your life. Jesus has given us so much and called us to so much. For us to just let that go would be a tragedy. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful to be here tonight. And we're so thankful for the calling that You've put on our lives to know You in the deepest and the most intimate way, Jesus. We're so thankful for Your love that covers us. And we're so thankful for that Spirit that allows us to know Your love. Jesus, let there be a fire in here tonight. Stir it up. Stir it up in our hearts so that we seek You like we never have before, Lord. Let that Spirit be on fire, Jesus. We know that You're soon coming. We know that time is short, Jesus. Allow us to really take hold and be convicted and surrender to that love, Jesus. We're so thankful for the time that we have up here, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.